Radio Prague News.
President Klaus has ratified an amendment aimed at speeding up the work of the Supreme Administrative Court. The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court has been mentioned as a possible candidate for president. And the first private trains to rival Czech railways began service on Monday on the Ostrava-Prague line. President Václav Klaus has ratified a legislative amendment aimed at speeding up the settlement of complaints filed with the Supreme Administrative Court. The court will, for the first time, have the ability to overturn contested decisions without their being returned to district courts, as was hitherto the case. The amendment to this practice is expected to accelerate the work of the court by at least half a year. The new law also gives the ombudsman the authority to file cases in the public interest directly to administrative courts, which could previously be done only through a state prosecutor. The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court, Judge Pavel Rychetsky, has been mentioned as a possible candidate for president by a number of social democrats, the news website IDNS has reported. Mr. Rychetsky, who rejected candidacies in 2003 and 2008, would be particularly suitable if indirect elections remained unchanged, an unnamed source from within the Social Democratic Party told The Daily. Mr. Rychetsky, for his part, has said he does not intend to announce candidacy and would not be commenting further. On Friday, Civic Democrat Przemysl Sobotka announced his intention to run, asking for the support of his fellow party members. The chairman of the TOPO 9 party, Foreign Minister Karol Schwarzenberg, has also been mentioned as a likely candidate if the current system is changed to direct presidential elections. The first private trains to rival Czech railways began service on Monday on the Ostrava-Prague line. The Regiojet company, which belongs to the student agency group known for its bus services, will be operating three daily trains on the Havířov-Ostrava-Olomouc-Prague line in each direction. In the future, the company intends to increase the connections to 18 a day. Regiojet is also looking to compete against the dominant railway player through passenger services, offering free internet connections, better mobile signal, and free newspapers and beverages. The first trains were reportedly sold out on Monday. A new poll from the STEM agency suggests that the Communist Party is gaining from preference drops among the three main parties. The survey sets the Social Democratic Party, the Civic Democrats, and TOPO 9 back by 1 to 2 percentage points against their polling results in June. Meanwhile, Communist Party support grew marginally by 0.4%. Elections held now would, according to STEM, leave the opposition Social Democrats with 87 parliamentary seats, the Civic Democrats with 45, and TOPO 9 with 30. The Communists, under such conditions, would win 38 mandates, 7 more than was suggested in June. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to go from sunny on Monday to cloudy on Tuesday, with daytime highs of around 22 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Yes, hockey world champions, no problem at all. Petra Kvitová wins Wimbledon, a mere trifle, because now the Czech Republic has an award-winning finance minister. Yes, Mr. Kalousek was all smiles upon receiving his award in the USA. But with more budget cuts promised, reaction back at home is likely to be considerably frostier. More on that in a moment. And still in the USA, in this week's One-on-One, Ian Willoughby speaks to Christopher Harwood, a professor of Czech at Columbia University. That coming up, plus a roundup of the sport and another edition of our Learn the Language Through Music show, Soundcheck. Please stay tuned. This is Radio Prague. The Czech Finance Minister, Miroslav Kalousek, has been named Finance Minister of the Year for Emerging Europe 2011, an award presented by the Washington-based Emerging Markets magazine.
The Czech finance minister beamed with pride as he picked up his award from Emerging Markets magazine in Washington. All in all, it had been a good week. The minister's draft budget for 2012 was approved unanimously by the cabinet, and given the coalition government's comfortable majority in the lower house, there is little cause to fear for its fate. Even a downward revision of the country's economic growth for next year left the minister undaunted.
Jsem přesvědčen, že musíme v takovém případě opustit.
If the lower growth predictions turn out to be correct, it will mean just one thing. We will have to progress from across-the-board cuts to very targeted and very effective cost-cutting measures.
Politiku tupých škrtů a zahájit politiku škrtů velmi ostrých.
Mr. Kalousek's tight hold on the purse strings may not make him popular with his cabinet colleagues or the public, but his uncompromisingly frugal policy contributed to the country's recently upgraded credit rating by Standard & Poor's to AA- at a time when many other states are struggling to ward off downgrades. Well, for a few hours at least, the Czech finance minister could bask in the praise from foreign financiers. At home, he can expect a cold reception. Not only has the government failed to find backing for its 2012 budget cuts and structural reforms from employers and trade unions, but the finance minister has come under fire for lack of political finesse and his roughshod manner of riding over any opposition he encounters. In recent days, the finance minister made headlines for slapping a young man on the street who yelled insults at him, calling some of the country's MEPs a bunch of insignificant idiots, and telling the Prime Minister through the media that he was in his post only thanks to his party's godfathers. The Prime Minister retorted that he feared for his finance minister's mental health. Commentator Jiří Pehe says that where the Czech Republic is concerned, this kind of behaviour in top-level politics has unfortunately become the norm and no longer surprises anyone.
Well, I think that the country's reputation has never been great in this respect. The Czech Republic may be known for having a rather good financial outlook, for example, but it doesn't certainly have a good reputation for being politically competent and being a tolerant country. So I don't think that these various conflicts that we've seen between the Prime Minister and his finance minister, or various conflicts within the ruling coalition, are coming as a great surprise to observers abroad, simply because no one who has followed Czech politics for a period of time can have a very high opinion of Czech political culture, unfortunately. So I think that in general, Czech political culture can only improve. It is very low right now, and what we see in relations between various government parties is a syndrome of this very bad political culture.
Well, Jiří Pehe ending that report from Daniela Lazarová, and it appears that Mr. Kalousek was one of the few Czechs picking up some awards this weekend. Here's the sport. So let's start with the football, and one of the Czech Republic's most high-profile exports, Petr Cech, has been given the all-clear to resume playing after being taken to hospital with a head injury suffered during Chelsea's League Cup win over Fulham last week. The 29-year-old goalkeeper, who plays in protective headgear after fracturing his skull in a collision with an opponent 5 years ago, was forced off at half-time in the match after smashing into the Fulham debutant Orlando Sarr. However, following the 4-3 penalty shootout win, Chelsea coach Andre Villas-Boas said Cech had been given the all-clear. Petr went for a scan in the hospital and he's OK, he told reporters. He felt a bit dizzy from the early concussion at half-time, but we decided, and he decided as well, it was better not to take the risk. Cech returned, however, to the Chelsea team at the weekend as the London club beat Swansea 4-1 in a Premier League match. Weekend results from the Czech Gambrinus League saw Jablonec move up to second place after a 3-1 home victory over Viktoria Žižkov. Champions Viktoria Pilsen scraped out a goalless draw with the yet-to-win Česká Budějovice. Monday evening we'll see the first Prague derby of the season when Sparta entertains Slavia at Letná. Slavia are struggling with only one win from their first seven matches, whereas Sparta are riding high with a maximum 21 points from their seven games to date. Should Sparta triumph, it would emphasise even further the widening gulf between Prague's two top teams and highlight even more sharply the demise in fortunes of the once great Slavia. The two clubs have never been so far apart before the winter break. For us, it's the biggest league game of the autumn, but position in the table does not play a role, said Sparta coach Martin Hašek. It's true that we're at opposite ends of the table, said Slavia coach Michal Petroš, but derby matches are specific. Any team can win, no matter where they are in the table. So, good luck, Slavia. Tennis now, and it appears all is not well with Czech player Tomáš Berdych's right shoulder. Currently 10th in the world rankings, Berdych has been forced to withdraw from the ATP event in Kuala Lumpur. I played my singles for the Czech Davis Cup team, and the inflammation returned. I need a few more days' rest, Berdych told the organiser's website. Problems with his right shoulder have beleaguered the Czech since a series of US tournaments. After intensive treatment with the consultant Pavel Kolář, Berdych was able to compete in the Czech Republic's recent Davis Cup win over Romania, where he won the singles and then doubles alongside Radek Štěpánek. I feel really sorry I can't play in Kuala Lumpur. I've done really well there in recent years, he said. The draw for the 2012 Davis Cup has been made, and the Czechs have been granted a home tie against Italy in the first round. Petra Kvitová lies in sixth place in the latest WTP World Rankings, although she would have been higher had it not been for her early exit at the US Open. Caroline Wozniacki and Maria Sharapova, the player who Kvitová beat in the Wimbledon final, take the two top spots. Kvitová does, however, lead the 2011 earnings chart with $3.2 million in prize money so far this year. So it looks like the next round is on you, Petra. Finally, the World Cycling Championships in Copenhagen proved to be a torrid affair for the Czech representatives Jan Bárta and Petr Benčík. Both riders were involved in a crash involving a group of competitors and failed to finish the race. British cyclist Mark Cavendish claimed gold, outsprinting the Australian Matthew Goss. The bronze was won by the German rider André Greipel. And that's the sport. Yes, they'll be having a few parties over in Petra Kvitová's neck of the woods, considering those earnings. Anyway, moving on, it's time now for our interview programme, One-on-One. This week, it's another chance to hear Ian Willoughby's conversation with one man flying the Czech flag stateside, Christopher Harwood, Professor of Czech at Columbia University.
Christopher Harwood is a lecturer in Czech at Columbia University in New York. When I met him at his office on Columbia's Upper West Side campus, we discussed Czech literature, the difficulties of learning Czech, and how Professor Harwood himself had become good enough at the language to teach it at one of the world's leading universities.
I guess I had a leg up on Czech from having begun Russian at an early age and having very good Russian already as a teenager and then continuing on. And so I think I learned Czech a lot more rapidly when I started doing it in graduate school. And then I went over after 2 years of having studied Czech. I went to Czech Republic for the first time, spent a month in Prague teaching English and a month in Olomouc at the summer language school there. And it was actually when I was in Prague that that first summer that I met my future wife, who is Czech. And so certainly that relationship has allowed me to get at least the spoken Czech to a much higher level.
Czech is unusually difficult, I think it's fair to say. What would your advice be to the general learner, so to speak, somebody who wants to learn the language who isn't coming from an academic background?
Yeah, it's not easy, and that's something that, you know, I have to admit to my students when I'm teaching them that they've bitten off a considerable task here. It certainly helps if they've had prior exposure, if not to another Slavic language, then maybe to Latin or to German, so that the whole concept of inflection is not entirely strange to them. But if not, there's a lot of strategies they can use, and it depends. I mean, here at Columbia, I'm fortunate that most of my students are really very bright, even if they don't have that prior experience, and they pick up quickly, and they're systematic learners. there's a couple of strategies for the more, you know, casual learner. There's certainly strategies you can learn for being able to have a basic level of communication without getting immersed in all of the really sticky grammar, learning sort of the high frequency phrases and things like that, and formulae that you'll need to know to get through your shopping and everyday greetings and so on. But I think, you know, it helps, you know, when learning any language to treat it as a kind of a game and to make it something fun. You'll have to spend a lot of time with it to get good, though.
I presume the fact that the modern world is so interconnected with internet makes it easier for someone like yourself to follow Czech culture and for your students to get exposed to Czech culture and Czech news and so on.
Yeah, of course. I came to teaching Czech in an internet age, and certainly it's an enormous boon to be able to get, well, Czech radio, of course, but also Czech television broadcasts and so on from the internet, and even, you know, television programs, things like that. It's very useful. Also, of course, being able to access, for my scholarly work, to be able to access a lot of a lot of articles and databases from Prague and so on without ever having to go there. So that's certainly a big plus.
As well as teaching Czech language, you also teach Czech literature. Which writers in particular appeal to you?
I love a great many Czech writers. I guess if I had to name a single personal favorite, it would probably be Bohumil Hrabal, who I just keep finding sort of new riches in. Teaching Czech literature, I tend to use the strategy of trying to use the big names, the ones that people are most likely to recognize, which really on a universal level is only, I think, Kundera and Havel. And so I tend to use those names a lot when I'm advertising courses and so on, and use them to sort of attract people's attention. And those are usually the names that pull people in, and then try and get them interested in other fascinating contemporaries of those two writers, and also in the earlier tradition of Czech literature.
Is there anything you would say that's characteristic of Czech writing?
Well, there's a lot of generalizations that are made, and they probably don't get made without having, you know, a basis in fact about the Czech sense of humor, the ironic sense of humor, a certain preoccupation with questions of the Czech national character, and often treated in a way that's very self-deprecating. I think that's typical, of course, the traditions of Czech beer hall culture, as exemplified in Hašek and in Hrabal as well. Are certain strong strains, but like any major literature, and I think that's the thing about Czech literature, is it's remarkably rich and diverse for the literature of such a small nation. These generalizations only get you so far, and there are great Czech romantics, and there are great Czech decadents, great Czech avant-gardists, and I really enjoy all of them.
Would you say, and this is a kind of theory of mine, and I have to be careful how I express it, but that there are possibly some Czech writers of the latter half of the 20th century who aren't perhaps that brilliant, but have a big name in the world of literature partly because of their backstory, by which I mean the circumstances in which they lived and how they were mistreated?
Yeah, well, for me, that's one of the big questions that not only I, but I think the Czech scholars themselves need to look at again and to re-examine, is that the canon of Czech literature in the 20th century and the post-war period in particular has been determined, I think, I don't know if it's been determined by political factors, but it's extremely difficult to extricate it from its political context. And I think that this is really one of the main challenges that the Czech literary scholars face now, is to re-examine the work of both sort of the dissident writers or the reform-minded writers of the canon, and to try and look more critically at their writing as literary art, and also to look at the writers who have been largely sort of denigrated or damned by these political criteria, writers who, to a greater or lesser extent, collaborated with the communist regime either before or after 68, and who I think have not always had the benefit of an independent eye. So it's definitely a difficult question.
You teach Czech literature from the 19th to 21st centuries. What state would you say Czech literature is in today?
Hard to say. By the way, I have taught even earlier than 19th century Czech literature. I teach one course on Czech culture, looking a lot at literature, but at non-literary arts as well, from the medieval period on. So that's also of interest to me. But as far as the 21st century, it's hard to say. I think it's very diverse. I think there's a lot of very good writing going on. sort of related to your previous question, though, I think a lot of the attention that Czech literature garnered internationally in the 20th century was, again, not unrelated to its political function and social function. And sort of the dilemma now is that Czech writers simply aren't being translated into English. None of them, virtually. I think the last new Czech work of fiction to be translated was maybe one of Ivan Klíma's books, which I like very well, but no, I think, young Czech writer has been translated perhaps since Jakub Topol. And I think there's a lot of good literature, a lot of, you know, very entertaining and meaningful literature that's been produced since then. But I think the Czech writers and sort of the Czech literary industry faces a real challenge in finding some way to bring it to the attention of an international audience and somehow convince them that it's relevant.
Ian Willoughby was in conversation with Christopher Harwood, Professor of Czech at Columbia University, in this week's One on One, and that programme was first broadcast in September 2008. Now, it's another chance to learn Czech through music. It's Soundcheck, of course, and this week hosted by Jan Wellinger.
Welcome to Soundcheck, our language series in which we look at Czech phrases through song lyrics. In today's edition, the expression to listen for is Jakobinets, featured in a song by the well-known pop group Chinaski. Translated into English, Jakobinets means as if it were nothing. Teenagers caught skipping class to have a cigarette in the schoolyard may try to act Jakobinets, to act casual, to pretend nothing was going on to avoid getting in trouble. The same goes for cheating during a test or getting caught by a co-worker scratching your nose. Not picking like in that famous Seinfeld episode, The Pick, scratching. You might want to pretend it was nothing. Chinaski, by contrast, complain in their song about everyone acting as if nothing were going on. Všichni se tváří jako by nic, hiding what they're thinking behind fake smiles, the source of no uncertain frustration. Something big may be at stake, but people decide to keep their feelings under wraps, to act jako by nic, or jako by se nic nedělo, to avoid further ramping up tension. Everyone knows a colleague is about to be fired, and all remain tight-lipped, uncomfortable about the situation, and not wanting to get involved. A more positive example might be the parents of a child acting Jakobinets ahead of their child's big day, his or her premiere as a young performer in front of the school, for example. They purposely tone down to avoid their child getting even more nervous. Others who might want to act Jakobinets are buddies out on the town trying to pick up members of the opposite sex at a popular club. They too might be advised to act Jakobinets, to act cool or casual, in the hopes of beginning a promising conversation with somebody and not blowing it. Jakobinets, nic se neděje. Everything's cool, your friends assure you, just relax. So what if you accidentally spilled beer all over your shirt front? It's so dark in here, she'll never notice. Sometimes, of course, it's hard to keep from showing your emotions, especially when something unexpected happens. A bolt out of the blue, blesk z čistého nebe. Just try to act Jakobinets if you find a forgotten lottery ticket in your pocket and that you've won $1 million. Or try to act Jakobinets if you learn you were accepted for a prestigious job or placed first among applicants for an excellent school. Sure, for a few moments you may just smile and act like nothing's going on, but just wait until you get around that first corner and are finally alone, at last. There you'll pump your fist in the air, or yell, or jump for joy, as if it were nothing. Jakobinets. Take me today.
Yes, those North Bohemian rock titans rounding off Radio Prague for today. That was Chinaski, of course, with Soundcheck. We're just about out of time here on Radio Prague. I'll just direct you to our website again. It is www.radio.cz. Click on the English section. Lots of news, opinion, and of course you can listen back to our programmes there on the website. And contact us as well. Anyway, from me, Peter Smith, on a beautiful autumn day here in the Czech capital. Until next time, bye-bye.